Pastors Larry and Tiz Huck welcome you to another Larry Huck Ministries podcast. We pray this teaching will fill you with God's wisdom, anointing, and revelation knowledge. Thank you for your prayers and faithful support.
Lord, I thank you that you're already doing things in people's hearts and in people's lives right now, Father, that Lord, whatever it is that we are in need of, God, I thank you, Lord, that you already have provided the solution and the answer. Father, we want to hear your voice today, and so we just open our hearts up to you, and we ask that you would just speak to us today and that you would touch our lives. We thank you, Lord, so much for your Holy Spirit in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, give the Lord a clap offering of praise. You got to warn me next time. Turn to about five people and tell them it's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. How many got the victory this morning? Shout amen. Well, special anointing here today. Dad is in Poland right now, and he is doing the March of the Living with Rabbi Lau. And how cool is that? God is just doing amazing things between Christians and Jews. And I don't care what the news says, God has amazing plans for America. The revival has already begun, amen? And I won't tell you everything, but I will tell you that my mom is doing really well, y'all. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, mom's doing really well. She got released from the hospital yesterday. And, you know, she's just such a fighter, such a champion, and such an example of someone standing on the word and the promises of God, even when you don't see any light, even when you don't feel it. You know, like the song said, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Oh, my goodness, you know. Man, that's so true right there. And so I'll let my dad share the details. But, guys, she's doing really well. Yeah, and she wasn't supposed to be. It's literally been miracles by the moment. Amen. It's been inspiring to see her just worship through this and fight through this. And it ties into the message that I want to share with you today called David's Heart of Worship. And we need to have a heart of worship, because there's going to be times in life where knowing how to worship is going to come in really key. And mom's an example of that. And I pray that none of us have to go through anything like that. But I know many of us have been through things like that and probably have an understanding of the importance of worship and having a foundation of Jesus in your heart that you can build a house, that you can build a defense on. Amen. And so I want to share this message with you today called David's Heart of Worship. And I want to begin by sharing just a short story with you to set the tone here. And this is a story about a rabbi and his student in the late 1700s, 1800s in Poland. And a rabbi asked his student, he said, "Young man, where is God? Have you ever wondered where is God?" The student answered, "The entire world is full of his glory." Amen. Amen? And we know that's true. But the rabbi repeated, he said, "Young man, I asked you, where is God?" The student answered, "There is no place that is devoid of him." Amen. The rabbi persisted, "Young man, I am asking you, where is God?" And the student said, "If my answers do not satisfy you, then you tell me." And the rabbi said, "God can be found wherever he is welcomed." Isn't that amazing? We serve an incredibly powerful God, y'all. The creator of the universe, he knows the hairs on your head. He cares about every aspect of his life. But sometimes for him to be more involved in our lives, we need to welcome him into our lives. Have you ever wondered why it is that throughout the Bible, there's so many examples of God using people who sinned? Why does God use sinners? Well, for one, we're all sinners. So if he didn't use sinners, there'd be nobody to use. Amen? The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But it's not that God doesn't mind sin. How many know God doesn't want us to be in sin? But the people that God uses throughout the Bible, the people that have shortcomings and sin, are people who don't hide their sin from God. That's the key, is you don't want to hide your sin from God. He uses people who invite him into their sin. And I understand that that sounds a little bit like, I don't want to invite God into my sin. Trust me, he already knows about it. Amen? So we want to be a people who welcomes God into every aspect of our life. Whatever it is that you're going through, whether it's a health issue, a relational issue, a spiritual issue, whatever it is, God wants to be a part. He's not going to be grossed out by your sin. He sent his son Jesus to the cross to die for that sin. So what we don't want to do is hide our sin from him. Psalms chapter 101 says this: whoever has haughty eyes and a proud heart, I will not tolerate. The Bible says that God cannot share the same dwelling as a vain and arrogant person. There is a throne in the temple, the tabernacle of your life, and only God can be on that throne. But if we hide our sin from God, or we think I can handle this without God, that's a form of self-worship. But there's only one King of Kings who's called to be on the throne of our lives. Can I have an amen? When I think about people who fell short, people who had struggles, but were people who welcomed God into the struggle of their lives, I think one of the greatest examples in the Bible is found in the person of David. David was an incredible person, had incredible giftings and talents, but David also had many shortcomings in his life. But his story is absolutely incredible. I've been studying about him quite a bit the last couple of weeks. And of course, we know he killed a lion, and he was incredibly brave, and he killed Goliath and eventually became the king over Israel. But we also know that he had a lot of struggles. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he even had a man murdered. He had her husband murdered so that he could be with her. Yet God continued to use him. Why did God use him? Well, look what Psalms 132 says. It says, O Lord, remember on behalf of David all the hardships he endured, how he swore an oath to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob. This is what he said: I will not enter my house or get into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling for the mighty one of Jacob. Did you know this? Did you know that David made an oath to the Lord to find the dwelling place for God? And that's why he had such an amazing relationship, because he was so passionate about creating a tabernacle, a place that God's spirit could rest. And that's how we need to be, amen? Amen. David was hungry for the presence of God. He said, I wouldn't sleep, I wouldn't close my eyes, I wouldn't get into bed until I established that. Now, let me give you a little bit of context about this creation of the tabernacle, because it's interesting. Before David's tabernacle was Moses' tabernacle. Now, in Moses' tabernacle, there was no singing, and there was no dancing, and there was no music. And there was a separation between the people and the ark, the place that the presence of God rested. Amen? And only one time a year could the high priest come into that, to that presence of God. And then David becomes king. And at that point, when David became king, Israel had become comfortable with a lack of the presence of God because the ark had been lost for over a century. They'd been comfortable. And I think a lot of times in our lives and in church lives, we can become comfortable with the lack of presence of God and do what they were doing in that time when David became king, and the worship can become a ritual. And David dedicates his life to the Lord. He makes that oath, and he establishes a new tabernacle. But it gets interesting here because the Bible says that David didn't follow the pattern of the tabernacle of Moses. David instituted some new things. In fact, he instituted 24/7, 7 day a week, 365 day a year worship to the Lord in the tabernacle. In Moses' tabernacle, there was no singing, there was no dancing, there was a veil between the people and the presence of God, and only the priest could come in one time a year. And David said, I want to do something new. And he instituted 24/7 worship and music in the tabernacle. And when he began his reign, he started with 250 to 300 full-time worshipers. Imagine how incredible that would be to have 300 people 24/7 singing, worshiping, dancing, and praising unto the Lord. David was passionate about this, and he started this. And do you know what? By the end of David's reign as king, he had almost 4,000 full-time singers, dancers, and worshipers in the tabernacle. David also didn't have a veil between the people and the presence of God. He understood, no, there's not supposed to be this separation between us and the presence. The presence is supposed to be right here, and we're supposed to have a different type of access. We're supposed to have access to the presence of God right here. And you know what else is interesting is that that David wasn't even a priest. Yet God loved his ideas for worship so much that he allowed David to become king. He allowed him to establish the tabernacle, and he promised to bring the Messiah through the lineage of David. How incredible is that? How incredible that God was moved to that degree by David's heart for worship. They said, you don't have to be priest. I love what you're doing. I love that you want to worship me 24 hours a day, and I'm going to bring the Messiah through your lineage. What an incredible thing. God loves a heart of worship, amen? And the church concept that we have today comes from that tabernacle. We just came out of an amazing time in the presence of God, and look what happened. I got up here, and it was like, whoa, there's the presence. That came from David's tabernacle. Thank you, David. But you know what's interesting is that before David instituted that practice in the tabernacle, God already had that happening in heaven. Amen. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8 says, day and night, God's throne is surrounded by worship. Right now, they're worshiping. Right now, they're lifting up the King of Kings. Amen. Amos chapter 9, verse 11 says, Jesus promised to rebuild David's temple, because as you know, the temple was destroyed, but Jesus promises to rebuild David's temple, but this time it's not going to be a building. This time it's going to be the temple inside of us. And so David was showing us what the temple, the tabernacle inside of us is supposed to look like. Not ritualistic. Not lacking the presence, but in the fullness of the presence. No veil between us and him. Welcoming him in. And you know, this just came to me. I wasn't going to say this, but this week's Torah portion says that the tabernacle, it's talking about the Israelites, the tabernacle was in their presence even in the midst of their impurities. A lot of times the enemy says, oh, you can't go into the tabernacle because you're not pure. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus came. Does that mean that God doesn't care about sin? Absolutely not. we need to be doing our best. But how many have ever sinned in here before? So don't let the enemy tell you that you can't come into the presence of God, because that's where your miracle is. That's where his love is. That's why David was like, hey, there can't be a veil between us. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Amen. So David sinned. Obviously, he committed adultery. He committed murder. But the thing that he didn't do was he did not hide his sin. He welcomed God into his life. I think it's incredible that the Bible says that in David, I have found in David a man after my own heart. I don't know of any other people in the Bible, if there are, you can tell me, that God said, there's a man who has my heart. He didn't say there's a perfect person right there, but he said, there's a person who has my heart. How many have ever heard that saying, that heart goes a long way? I don't know if you've ever played sports or anything like that, but you might not have the most talent. You might not be the biggest. You might not have the most skill. Whatever, you can apply this to anything in your life. You might not have the best criminal record. You might not have the best background. You might have been through a divorce. You might have come from this. Look at my dad. My dad was a heroin addict. Today he's walking with Rabbi Lau in Poland. It makes no sense. And I'll tell you, he wasn't a perfect person, almost perfect dad, but he wasn't a perfect person all the way along the way. But whenever the Holy Spirit is convicting you, come into the presence of God. Be a person who doesn't hide your shortcomings. Be like David and say, God, I'm not perfect, but I love you and I want to see your kingdom come and your will be done in my life. And God will work with you. He'll work with you. He'll work with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. But don't let the enemy trick you. Don't let him trick you into stop coming to church or stop reading your Bible or stop praying. God knows what's going on in your life. He wants to be a part of it. And every day he'll take you line upon line, precept upon precept, and his grace and mercy is sufficient for us all. Amen? Heart goes a long way. You might not be perfect. You might not be the most talented or the most gifted. But if you keep your heart right, and we see this heart that David had, and what was that heart? What was the main thing? No matter what he was going through, he welcomed God in. God, I always want you to be a part of it. I always want you to be a part of it. So let me give you today four lessons from the life of David. Number one, say number one. David had a heart of worship, amen? David understood why we worship, and this is so important. Why do we worship, guys? We worship for the pleasure of God. It brings God pleasure. It's kind of like, you know, if you have kids and your kid, lately my son's come up to me and saying, Daddy, I love you. And it's like, oh man, that's so awesome. Here's $5. But have you ever had your kid just do something like that for you? And we're his kids. And so when we say, Dad, I love you, it brings him pleasure. It's not that he's, you know, arrogant or something like that. It's like he's like us. In the same way that it makes us feel good to have our children love us, we're made in his image and likeness. So that attribute, that characteristic that we like to feel affection from our children comes from him. And he's the same way. So first and foremost, let's just thank God that we're even here today. Amen. Man, God's been good to us. Have we been through some hard times? Yeah, absolutely. But better days are ahead. And he's with us and he's walking with us through whatever storm. Thank God we don't have to go through the storms that the world goes through without a Savior, without the principles of the Word of God, without the lineage that we have. The people of faith that we have to learn from and see the examples of. Thank God for all of that. Amen? He's with us. So he gets pleasure out of our worship. And I, you know, that seems so simple, but if you really love God, you worship him. If you've really been through something, you worship him. That's one of the good things about going through a trial, is it gives you a different appreciation for things, you know? And if you don't appreciate him enough to worship him, Spend some time in prayer and ask him to give you that heart. You don't want to learn it the hard way. Amen. But the cool thing about when we worship God and when we do it for his pleasure is that although it's for him, it benefits us. When I worship him, I develop a relationship and a passion and a love for him. Somebody said to me the other day with, you know, all of the my family and has been going through is that the battle is the Lord's, but the victory is ours. So he fights the battle, but I get the victory. It's the same thing with worship. So I worship you, but I get out of it. That's how good our God is. Amen. David also understood how to worship. And this is really important because what David teaches us through his life is that it's not about what you say or what you do, but it's about having your heart in it. And this is what was happening at this time in the tabernacle. There were sacrifices taking place, but there was no heart in it. It had become a ritual. But David understood it's not about what we say. Oh, okay, I went to church, you know, Sunday, I checked it off the box. No, it's about is your heart in it? And that's what God wants us to remember today, is to have our heart in everything that we do. Amen? Look at what David said in Psalms chapter 51, verse 16. He says, "You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart God will not despise." So it's interesting because there he's talking about the sacrifice. And he says God doesn't take pleasure in the sacrifice, even though God commanded them to do the sacrifice. It wasn't that he was saying, don't do the sacrifice. He was saying, when you sacrifice, do it from your heart. Amen. Let it mean something. And he says, I love this. He says, because my sacrifice, God, is that you see the reason I'm sacrificing is because my heart is genuinely broken. And that's something that God can really, really work with. Going back to what I said, that heart goes a long way. If somebody offends you and they genuinely apologize to you and you know it's heartfelt, it's so easy to get over it, right? But if somebody offends you, you know, it's like when you fight with your sister or your brother when you were kids and your mom would make you hug and, until you, you know, you're like this. You're not really meaning the hug. But David's saying, hey, when you hug him, mean it. Amen? Number two, he made God his God. And I think this is a cool point, and it's so important because what I see, you know, is that there's a lot of people who, and everybody starts out this way, but how many know the longer we've been saved, the more we need to mature and the more we need to grow and get a deeper understanding. When you first get saved, when you first accept Jesus into your life, you don't understand how this whole thing works. You just know that, hey, man, I know I've been a sinner. And I feel that God loves me. And it starts there. But as you progress, you start to understand things a little bit more, and God calls us to mature. And one of the things that you begin to understand is that, hey, there are promises in this word that I'm supposed to be able to lay claim to. I'm supposed to pray for things, and things are supposed to happen. If I have faith the size of a mustard seed, that mountain is supposed to move. Amen? And David was a man after God's own heart. He loved God. He loved the word. He loved the teachings. And so he was a man who made God. Oh, that's God? Okay, that's going to be my God. And when he goes from just being God to your God, then you're able to stand on his promises. Remember, he's wherever he's welcomed. So the fact that did anybody get up and help God cause the sun to rise today? No. He's doing that all on his own. But how many people are paying attention to it? Some of us. But some people are just going about life not even realizing, hey, there's a God out there. And there's a history to this God. And this God wants relationship with me. And David said, I'm not just going to be oblivious to who this God is. Wait, you're telling me there's a God who created the heavens and the earth and I can get to know him? Okay, I'm going to make that God my God. Amen. And that's so huge in this life. I promise you, when mom's in the hospital over there and all of us, we're praying, we're fasting. And thank you so much for all the prayer and the fasting. I'm going to tell you right now, praying and fasting works. Praying and fasting. It works, amen? Amen? But she's out there and she's going, hey, that God who says that what the devil meant for evil, God will use for good, that's my God. Amen. And I'm going to stand on what my God says. Amen. And that's what David did. It's cool because there's a time when David is hiding from his enemies. And you know, sometimes the enemy's got you cornered. We'll put it like that. Not that you're scared or this, that, or the other, but hey, okay, all right, they're there, okay. He might get you cornered. That's when you need to know that he is your God. And there's a time when David is hiding from his enemies, and he says in Psalms chapter 63, verse 1, he says, you, God, are my God. He's reminding himself, and he's reminding God. Sometimes when we pray, we need to remind God. God, you're my God. I'm your son. Your word says. And what does Dad say? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He said, you God are my God. I earnestly seek you. Now check this out. He's in the midst of fighting for his life, but he's saying, God, you're my God, and I earnestly seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water. I don't know if you've ever been in a place where you feel like there's no water. You're going through a health battle. You're going through a battle with your marriage. You're going through a battle with your children. How many know that feels like no water? But that's when you call out and you say, God, you're my God. And no matter what, Lord, I still thirst for you. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Sometimes you got to remind yourself of where you come from. You got to remind yourself of the miracles that he's done in the past, in your family, in people you know, in your church, in the Bible. There's a cool part of the Bible, I've taught about this before, that God said, create a monument and never move the monument, because our human nature is to forget so quickly what God has done. But sometimes you need to create a monument and remind yourself of what God has done, what God is capable of, so that when the enemy has you hiding, you can say, God, you're my God. And that will stir up your faith and give you that energy to stand, even when you don't see that light. Give you the energy to stand, because he's done it before. And like the song says, if he's done it before, he'll do it again. Amen? So the scripture goes on. It says, when there's no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Hallelujah. Man, when we're able to turn to God, we're able to be fully satisfied. And it might not come at this exact second, but man, light's coming in the morning. The sun's gonna rise in the morning. And in that meantime, you just stand on those promises. You just stand on that word. Say, God, you're my God. Can I have an amen? Amen. I'm going to close with this. I'm going to have the team come up, and I'm going to give you two more points. Number three, and this is so important, guys. David was a passionate worshiper. This is so important. Check out what it says in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 12. It says, so David went down and brought up the ark from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. Somebody say rejoicing. And I'll give you a little side note, and this is an interesting thing to study, but they had all kinds of problems when they were bringing up the ark. It wasn't going well. They literally had a flat tire. Anybody have a flat tire on the way to church today? Man, if I'd had a flat tire on the way to church today and I had to preach, I'd have been a little bit upset. But David, man, he had a different mindset. And that's why I want to be more like David. Who wants to be more like David? Amen? I want to be someone who says, man, that guy Luke, he's got a heart after my own heart. Amen? So they're having all kinds of problems, and they bring up the ark. It says that David was rejoicing. It said, when those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken six steps, now they're doing the rituals, okay? He sacrificed a bull and a fatted calf. David wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all his might. So he didn't let the ritual just be some dry, dead thing. He said, hey, God, if you said to do this, I'm going to do this thing to the fullest. And he danced so hard. Spoiler alert on the robe came off, okay? That is what happened. That's all the detail we get, but that happened. He says he danced before the Lord with all his might while he and the entire house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts and sounds of trumpets. Somebody give God a praise offering in here right now. So we don't want to let things become ritualistic. We need to have a heart for God in what we do and welcome him into all aspects of our lives and praise him and thank him and rejoice with genuine hearts. Amen? Now, it's interesting because it says that his wife got mad at him for worshiping so hard. I'm sure there's a couple of times, like this guy right here likes to get down. I'm sure there's a couple of times where his wife was probably like, okay. during the meeting, she's like, I like the energy, but let's work on a couple of things. But isn't that realistic? And here's the thing. It's like, okay, what are you saying, Pastor Luke? Like, should we all start running around the stage? Hey man, if you're doing that for show, then no. But if you genuinely love God like that, dude, then go. If it's for show, then no. But if it's for God, then go. Amen. I'm not going to stop someone's praise. Amen? Amen. But it says that the wife and the leaders got mad. Hey, this is not how we're doing it. Meanwhile, God's up there like, yeah, this is how we're going to do it forever. Yeah, and this is actually how it's been going on. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, worship. Welcome it. We're not angels yet. So if we're going to accomplish that, we have to welcome him into every aspect of our lives. And it seems like, oh, well, you know, so what? I just welcome him in while I'm going through the car wash? Yep. I welcome him in while I'm going through lunch? Yep. Everything unto God. Everything unto God. Well, I'm not a preacher. You are a minister of God. And your worship is doing whatever you do. When I grew up, I had to shovel horse stalls for 15 years because we always had horses. Do it unto the Lord, Luke. Whatever you do, do it unto God. Every single thing you can turn into worship. That was what David tapped into. I'm not hiding anything from you. I'm not keeping any subjects off limit from you. I'm not keeping any time frames off limit from you. I'm not giving you time slots. You and me are going to have no veil. And this temple is going to have no veil between me and you. You're going to have 24/7 access to me. And whatever I'm doing, I'm going to figure out a way to rejoice and give worship to you. Because I want you to say about me, they have a heart after my own heart. Amen? So they get a little bit upset at David and they actually rebuke him. And David's response is, oh, I will celebrate. That's what the Bible says he says. He says, oh, I will celebrate before the Lord. And then he says, and I will become even more undignified than this. Now, if he's going to get more undignified than the rope falling off, let's put the veil back up, okay? Just, can we get a 5-minute pass for the veil? But man, God likes enthusiasm. God likes authenticity. And here's the thing. He's not looking for perfection from you. Perfection will be developed in you over time. But the number one thing he's looking is not that you know how to say the Shema exactly, but that when you pray, it comes from your heart. That when you repent, it comes from your heart. That when you praise, it comes from your heart. That whatever you do, that you do it unto the Lord, and you do it unto the Lord from your heart. Isn't that an amazing way to be able to live? It's like, okay, that's how we do this. So David worshiped the Lord with his heart, with his soul, with his mind, and with his strength. God's calling us to worship him, to invite him in, to welcome. Where is God? He's wherever he's welcomed. Welcome him into your heart. How do I do that? Well, welcome him into the desires of your heart. Are your desires in line with him? Some of us compartmentalize where we welcome him into. Welcome him into your strength. Well, how do I do that? Well, praise him with your strength the way that he says. Well, how's a way to start that? Clap your hands during praise and worship. Lift your hands during praise and worship. An extension of that. Well, you know, sometimes it's hard, right? I'm not saying you have to do it the whole time, but sometimes there is something about making that little sacrifice and be like, yeah, I feel this right now. This is kind of tiring. So was this. Right? That was probably a little bit tiring. And I'm not trying to condemn us, but I'm just like, when I think about this, then it makes me do this from my heart. You see what I'm saying? We got to talk about these things a little bit in church because we need people who are passionate. We don't need perfect people. We just need passionate people. Worship him from your mind, your soul. David made lifestyle a worship. That's number four. I guess I might have got my numbers wrong, but that's number four. It's the last one. He made lifestyle a worship, and this is probably the most important thing, and I kind of just discussed it right now, but David was just tending field in a sheep before God ever really used him. But look at what he said in Psalms chapter 19. This is before God used him. Look at the attitude that he had before God really started to use him. It says in Psalms 19, verse 1, David says, you can just imagine him, and I relate to this because I trip out when I go outside. Mr. Don was saying this morning, that you ever go outside and look at the stars and you're like, whoa, and I'm like, yes. It says, David's in the field. David says, the heavens declare your glory, God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them, yet their voices go out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. David writes this incredible poetry about God just while he's out in a field, because he made his lifestyle a lifestyle of worship. Guys, I think God's calling us to make worship a lifestyle today. Do you receive that this morning? Would you just stand to your feet and let's just give God one more clap offering of praise right now and just say, God, we worship you. Lord, we want worship to be a lifestyle for us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. 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 Let's just close our eyes. And I want you to just ask yourself today, let God just speak to you, but where is God dealing with you to welcome him into your life? Where is God? He's wherever we welcome him. He might be calling you to welcome him into your finances. He might be calling you to welcome him into your marriage. Wherever it is in your mind, your body, your soul, your strength. I know God's dealing with people right now, but if God's just speaking to you right now and saying, hey, I want to give you a fresh touch in this area of your life, with every head bowed, I want you to just acknowledge that God is speaking to you and just stretch your hands up and say, God, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying to me. Yep. I hear what you're saying. Lord, just speak to people right now, God. Lord, I thank you that we don't have to hide anything from you. Lord, that your mercy is fresh every day. Your grace is fresh every day. And it's actually in the admittance of our weakness that your strength is made perfect. And I thank you, Lord, that repentance creates relationship. So, Father, I just thank you right now. Let's all just stretch our hands out right now. God, I thank you, Lord, that right now, Father, you're touching people's lives, God, and you're ministering people's hearts, Lord, wherever it is that they need to be ministered to, Father. So, Father, right now, God, we just all welcome you into every aspect of our lives, Father. We welcome your Holy Spirit into our lives right now. Father, we repent of any unrighteousness in our lives, and we thank you for your mercy and your grace, which is fresh every single day. And Father, I ask that as we leave here today, Father, we would leave here knowing, God, that you are with us and you are for us, that you will never leave us and that you will never forsake us. And God, that you are doing a new thing in our lives in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Give the Lord a clap offering of praise.